Faithful God, we ask for your blessing on the thoughts, the words, and emotions that will transpire here and inspire us here today. May we feel moved by our worship of you, moved beyond feelings and toward faithful action as disciples of Jesus Christ. Open our minds and our hearts to the message of your word today as we learn to reject evil for good and reject violence to pursue peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hey, Luke, good to see you, man. King of Angels, Prince of Peace. Y'all know I like these double titles, right? But that sermon title actually comes from both our opening hymn today, Come and Behold Him, Born the King of Angels. Okay, I got through that. And from our scripture reading, He is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So I just put those two together. King of Angels, Prince of Peace. Indeed, Jesus, the Son given to us, born of Mary and begotten as the very essence of God, is both a heavenly king and an earthly prince, both divine and human. He is both rich in the splendor of his heavenly kingdom and yet also poor, possessing little during his earthly sojourn. He was and is, in the words of our previous breakthrough sermon series, both and. In fact, he is both our earthly gift and our eternal giver. Isn't that wonderful good news for us? Our earthly gift and our eternal giver, one and the same. To repeat what I just read from our Advent candlelighting, God's surpassing peace is coming to us on earth as it already is in heaven. Jesus came as God's prince, bearing that precious and direly needed gift of peace to us. And have we received it and accepted it? Have we unwrapped it, then opened the package, you know, under the tree to display it? Have we put it on ourselves and maybe worn it like a new coat or a mantle? Or have we taken out and assembled all the many parts of this gift, you know, gifts with many parts, you know, and with guidance from the instruction manual? Yeah, here's the instruction manual, right, for that gift. Have we done that? Yeah, have we fully accepted, learned about, and embraced and put to good use this gift in our lives, this wondrous gift to us from the Prince of Peace? Nah, I don't think so. Not fully. Maybe some, but not fully. So what happens when you receive a gift that might look easy to use, but may be somewhat complicated? What if it requires some assembly and maybe comes with a manual? Do we read the manual? Huh? How many people read the manual? Some of us do, some of us don't. But there's always usually a website you can visit or a phone number you can call if you need some help, right? With those hard to put together gifts. Well, Jesus gave us that. We read in John 14 chapter, 26 to the 27th verses, where Jesus, our prince, just before leaving this earth to return to his kingship realm, says to his followers, and that includes us, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled. And some of our favorite words ever spoken by Jesus. Do not be afraid. Amen. Does anybody hear the church or the world calling that Holy Spirit for help? Anybody calling the helpline that you know of? Because we sure do need it, don't we? I mean, do you think God's celestial prayer line is ringing every hour of every day and night? It sure needs me. I hope so. I mean, how does that old gospel song go? If we never needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. Anybody remember that song? Everybody has sung it. If we never needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. Yeah, we really do, don't we, folks? We, our nation, and our world are in such daunting, torturous turmoil right now. Rumors of war, but also rumors of peace. All rumors, it seems. But so much conflict, anxiety, and division in the world. Some folks don't know it, or they want to deny it, especially if they don't consume the news or don't feel affected by what's happening. But most of us do know it. And we know it's not just happening around us. It's happening to us. We're all affected by the mess. That's MESS. That's a descriptive acronym coined long ago by a late friend of mine, Bishop Felton E. May. Derek, did you ever know Bishop May? Yeah, because he was up at Turning Point Church for a while once he retired from the Episcopacy. Yeah, he had this, and I worked for him in Baltimore Washington Conference, right? So he'd like to say, we're in a real mess. M-E-S-S. And Flo, that stands for misery and evil, side by side. I'll never forget that. It's a mess created by the enemy, whom we personify as Satan, but the enemy is so prevalent among us and also within us. Like that old comic strip Pogo famously said, we have met the enemy, and he is us. Anybody remember that? We have met the enemy, and he is us. Yeah. Well, here in this scripture that I read earlier, darkness enshrouds God's Hebrew people during the time of Isaiah's prophecy. Yes, it is a prophecy full of hope. Yeah. Hope that the people who have lived in darkness will soon see a great light. And that light finally came, finally comes centuries later, when Jesus is born. It beams across an opaque sky, the luminous gleam of a distant radiant star, foretelling the imminent birth of God's most generous gift to humanity, the gift of a Savior. Amen. And then one night, it fills the darkened sky with the even more luminous radiance of 1,000 angels serenading from on high, a gathering of poor shepherds watching over their flocks in the quiet fields. And those shepherds are amazed at the incredible sight and sound of angels all around them singing and bidding them to go share with the world their good news, good tidings of great joy. Yeah, that's next week's theme, joy, right? 3 decades later, after his baptism by John and his time of testing in the wilderness, Jesus appears in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. And he reads to all the people there from a scroll where he announces that Isaiah's ancient prophecies of a Messiah who would come to bring good news from God to the people of God, those prophecies are now fulfilled in him. Boy, did he raise a ruckus. What is truly wonderful for us today is that that light has indeed come into our world, and it continues to shine brilliantly in all of our lives today. Yes, 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 yes. There is still darkness all around us today, and it is still full of paralyzing fear and oppression, of profound hatred and brutal retribution across our land, of malevolence and mass confusion everywhere. But now there is also the light. The light that shines brightly among the true followers of Christ. That's us, y'all. Yeah. And as John's gospel assures us, and we need to take this assurance most seriously, John says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, no matter how opaque, cannot overcome it. Amen. That deserves an amen, doesn't it? The darkness cannot overcome the light. So as we celebrate Jesus' birth and life, we also await his promised return here. Not as a child next time, nor even as a prince of peace, but as an almighty ruler, the king of angels, returning to bring back to his heavenly realm there those who believe in him and who belong to him, his devoted followers, his beloved siblings, those of us who open his gift of peace and who put it on and put it to good use and who share it with the world, a world he came and will come again to save for his kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not the only one feeling hallelujah, even if I'm the only one saying it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Shortly before he was arrested, convicted, and crucified, Jesus stood alone on a hill, overlooking sadly King David's beloved city of Jerusalem. And there as he stood there and he looking at that city down below, he wept. Yeah, isn't that where that thing, that shortest scripture in the Bible, right? Jesus wept, that's where it is, as he's looking over Jerusalem. And he said silently, because no one was there to hear him, he said silently to the inhabitants of that city, the words we read in Luke 19, chapter 42nd verse. If only you had known on this great day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Friends, he is lamenting that his gift of true peace found in welcoming God's presence through him and honoring God's ways through his teachings was invisible to their eyes. And their blindness would lead to their city's downfall and to their destruction, as he foretold. But now we know that our own human blindness to Jesus' gift of spiritual truth and peace is a tragedy that doesn't have to happen if we would only open, use, and share his precious gift of peace. So, dear friends, let me ask you, do you want to open and use and share that precious gift from the Prince of Peace? You can answer me. Do you want to? Do you want to open it? Do you want to use it? Do you want to share it with others? Because that's what he wants. Well, then, the first thing we need to do is to stop thinking of peace as just a noun, okay? No. Stop thinking of it as something you simply have or have not, whatever the case may be. You see, if we want to embrace and use and benefit from Jesus' gift of peace, then we have to understand that peace is not passive, right? Peace is not passive, folks. Peace is active, not like a noun, more like a verb. That's right. Real peace is actually peacemaking. Yeah, that's what real peace is. Peace comes in many active iterations, including peacemaking, peacekeeping, peace restoring, and so on. But what's important for us to know is that peace isn't something you just have. It's something you make. It's something you keep, and it's something you restore if and when it becomes lost. Yeah. So I was curious about Jesus' title, Prince of Peace. I want to know, what does this mean, this Prince of Peace? I looked it up. The name Prince of Peace in Hebrew is Shar Shalom, S-A-H-R, Shar Shalom. Can y'all please say that with me, that name, Shar Shalom? Really, Shar, say it again, please. Shar Shalom. So now you all speak a little Hebrew. Aren't you proud? Shar Shalom, or peace of, Prince of Peace, means the one who removes all peace-disturbing obstacles in order to secure the peace. So he doesn't just send the peace or bring the peace. No, no, it's more like he plants his peace into the earth like a royal tree, and he spreads its roots out across the world so that it will grow everywhere. And then he protects it. He protects it by removing all unpeaceful forces and enemies that threaten, like weeds, to choke or harm or destroy what the prince has planted. Yeah, I put a little imagination into this, but you can follow with me. The title prince is a title of regal authority, isn't it? You agree with that, right? Doesn't Isaiah's prophecy say the authority, or some versions say the government, that's probably the one you've heard more often, the government will rest upon his shoulders? Yeah. So it's the title of one who rules with authority, albeit subject to the king's sovereignty, of course. But if the prince and the king are one and the same, as Jesus is with God, then this prince rules with authority. He's, might you say, large and in charge. I like that phrase always. Y'all agree with me on that? You might not put it in those terms, but you'd agree, right? That Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's got the authority. The government rests on him, and he's large and in charge. Yeah. And our immortal Prince of Peace is far different and far more powerful than all the other mortal rulers who have existed or ever will exist and rule on this earth, past, present, or future. He didn't come to dominate or to be served by others. In fact, he said he came to serve, not to be served, didn't he? This prince never took anyone's life or property or human rights to establish and advance his rule like so many rulers have done. No, no. And he never restricted anyone's access to his kingdom like other rulers do. No, in fact, he gave his life and all that he had just so that we could have access to his heavenly kingdom. Now that's a real prince for you, isn't it? A real Prince of Peace. You see, Jesus comes to us as our Prince of Peace to offer us a deeper, lasting, and more fulfilling peace in our minds, in our souls, and in our very lives. A peace not as the world offers with its burdensome rules and exploitative agendas and too many broken treaties. That's the kind of peace the world offers. No, no, no. He brings us a true, unfettered peace that only Christ can offer. And he comes not just to bring us peace, like it's a noun, but to teach us how to make peace, like it's a verb, and how to keep the peace, and how to restore peace when it's lost. Peace, friends, takes work. Yeah, willing work, just like love. You want love? You gotta love. Turn love into a verb and be willing to work for it. It's not passive. You don't just have it. Peace is active. You make it, you build it, you foster it, you maintain it. And yes, sometimes you even rebuild or restore it. But you only do all of that if you really want peace. and are willing to work for it. If you're willing, like our Shar Shalom, to remove all peace-disturbing obstacles in order to uphold and secure the peace, just as Isaiah foretold. So what does it take to do all that? All right, I'm halfway done, maybe more than halfway. Well, what's required of us all is to prioritize peace, but along with righteousness and justice, right? Isaiah's prophecy says he will establish and uphold the peace with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. So what's that popular phrase we often hear protesters for social change chanting out there in the streets? We hear it all the time. We see the signs. It says, no justice, no peace. Anybody heard that before? No justice, no peace. Or as Pope Paul VI, and I didn't know who said this until I looked it up, but it was Pope Paul VI who famously told the world during the height of social protests back in 72. Oh, some of us remember how much social protest was going to end. The Vietnam War was just ending. Whew, 1972. And he's the one that said, if you want peace, then work for justice. I wish I could have seen somebody finish that sentence for me. That's right. That's what he said. That quote ought to be a mantra for all true peacemakers. If you want peace, then work for justice. That's what the Hebrew word shalom really means. It means a holistic peace with justice. Ah, there's this term again, both and, right? We're a people, a Christian people of both and in many cases. Because true peace is not merely the absence of conflict. It's the presence of shalom, of wholeness. Yes, it requires feeding people, which we do wonderfully at Grace Union every week, just as Jesus did. But it also asks us to go a big step forward and change the systems of greed and oppression that keep people hungry, or underemployed, or uneducated, or poor, or food insecure. To make a true sustainable peace requires social justice and economic equity that produces the well-being, development, and flourishing. Don't you want to see all people flourish? Yeah, that, my friends, is real peacemaking. That's when peace becomes a verb. Another primary requirement for peacemaking is humility. Oh, that word in Hebrew, by the way, is anava. Anava. It requires overcoming one's own self-centered ego, as difficult as that can be for anyone. It means eliminating selfishness and self-righteousness that tells us that we're better and deserve more than someone else. Oh, isn't that always a struggle? It is not really self-denial. Don't think it's self-denial. It's really self-discovery. Because that is how we discover the mind of Christ within us and the peace of Christ that Christ places deep within us. We can't discover that on our own, however. We need constant, humble, and heartfelt prayer that asks the Holy Spirit to show us who we really are in God's eyes and who we can be when we're in a loving relationship with Christ Jesus, our very own Prince of Peace. That, my friends, can be hard work for any of us, but it's peacemaking. It's taking that gift that Jesus brought us out from under that Christmas tree, opening it and putting it to good use. And I guarantee you, it is truly more than worth it. So, seeking shalom, that's peace with justice, and manifesting the Christ-like virtue of humility are two of the most important and challenging, but also fulfilling ways of doing peacemaking. There's also active, loving compassion that arouses one's sympathy for another's circumstances and feelings. That's peacemaking. And there is the importance of having disciplined, tender patience. Oh, discipline is important. With others, no matter how much patience is required. And I know some of you who have found deep wells of patience in your lives. I'm looking at you, Sue. with your families and everything. We learn patience when it's tested. Isn't that right? Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That word bearing probably ought to be in all caps, right? He says that in Ephesians 4:2. And finally, always have in mind and heart, our minds and hearts focused on reconciliation. Ah, a long word with a big meaning. Reconciliation. The scripture says we are to be ambassadors of reconciliation. Reconciliation should be our goal, our North Star. Wherever you want any discussion or disagreement to end up, that's the goal. It should never be about winning points, as I said once before. It should always be about winning the peace. Not the points, the peace. We must be actively working to resolve conflict and build bridges always. Paul writes in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, that is the very essence of peacemaking. I wish I had time to share more ways to do peacemaking, because there are many, but these five are a great start. And we should actively seek peace with justice in a spirit of humility, compassion, and patience, always focused on reconciliation. If that sentence wasn't so long, I'd ask you to repeat it, because that's the lesson of the day. And we should, one last thing, but I saved the best for last. Really, it did the best for last. One last thing we simply must know and acknowledge. One more ultimate truth that makes Jesus the ultimate peacemaker in our lives. This one you don't want to miss because it's so important. Jesus brought a gift of peace that no one else could have brought us and given to us. He brought us his own sacrificial death on the cross when he gave his life to save ours and to atone for our sins. And that sacrifice of his made possible the ultimate gift of peace. And I'm going to tell you what that is, because that's important. The ultimate gift of peace is the peace that now exists between God and humanity, between God and us. Prior to that, Jesus' sacrifice, the words I sometimes see from theologians use is the word of hostility, that we were hostile to God within our sins. But Jesus broke down that wall, that dividing wall of hostility for all of us. So his death and sacrifice and resurrection actually is the gift that brings peace between us and God, the most important and most lasting gift of peacemaking and, yes, peace restoring for all people, all time. I'll finish with this, because we all know this scripture, I think. Blessed are the peacemakers. You all know that one? Yeah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Jesus said that in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:7. So, yes, Jesus, our Prince, the light of the world, brought to us and planted within us the wondrous gift, not just peace, but peacemaking. And even more, Christ our King, the light of heaven, still offers us that precious gift today, for it is the sure path, the very sure path to abundant life and to the eternal life we long for in Christ's kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, the Prince of Peace. We ask that you fill our hearts with his peace so that we may reflect in all of our relationships with others. Help us to be instruments of your love and reconciliation in a world that so desperately needs it. Guide us as we seek to live out your truth and to share your light with those around us. In Jesus' name we pray.